WSU Vancouver has been successfully fulfilling its mission as a land-grant university that serves its local community for almost 40 years. So why is it being defunded? We discuss it on this episode of The Common Good. Hello and welcome to The Common Good, where we showcase the achievements of members of our community that contribute to Southwest Washington and beyond in a positive way. Hello, I'm Stephen Glickman, your host for this episode of The Common Good. My guests today are Desiree Helligers, a professor of English at WSU Vancouver and a founding co-director of the Collective for Social and Environmental Justice, Lori Mercier, professor emerita and former Claudius O. and Mary W. Johnson Distinguished Professor of History at WSU Vancouver, and Daria Ruggles Christensen, a graduate of WSU Vancouver and a former star of Days of Our Lives. They're here today to call attention to the steep reduction in funding and cutting of diverse and inclusive coursework available at WSU Vancouver.
Let's just get right to it. WSU is a extremely important resource for the state of Washington and its residents and people who come to make use of the university. Mm-hmm. The branch campuses are an important part of that. Now there's a threat to their funding. So Desiree, give me the setup. What's going on?
Yeah, so basically, the Washington State Legislature mandated a $3.3 million system-wide cut to balance the budget, right? And instead, what we've seen is the imposition of a nearly $12 million cut, and that is coming from, you know, the Board of Regents, upper administration at WSU. We have a new president. And so basically, they are mandating instead nearly $12 million cut system-wide, with nearly half of that to be extracted from the Vancouver campus. So we are deeply, deeply concerned about these developments. And we, you know, even though we're getting assurances that these cuts are not going to impact instruction, they've mainly been directed at staff at this point. We know that there's no way that you can take so many people out of, you know, the staff, you know, some impact on faculty, but very little. There's no way that that's not going to trickle down to impacts in the classroom. And we are really concerned about what the impact is going to be on Vancouver, Clark County, Southwest Washington more broadly. And we're also really concerned that this is happening under the leadership of a very new university president, Elizabeth Cantwell, who has a prior, their only prior experience as a university president was 18 months at the Utah State University, during which, you know, she managed to make the front page of the Salt Lake Tribune for, quote unquote, you know, lavish expenditures, much of which were for her, you know, her personal benefit. So we're really concerned that this process is being driven by people who have no connection to the local region and without knowledge of how our campus operates. And, you know, ultimately our loyalty, our concern is for the community itself. That is our primary constituent. Yeah.
So Lori, where do you come to this from? What, you know, how do you see this?
Well, I just retired last year, but I worked at WSU Vancouver for 30 years. Along with Desiree, I was part of a core group of faculty who helped create programs and really launched the entire campus. In fact, our initial year or two, we were at the Clark College campus until the legislature funded a much larger campus north of town. And of course, the design of that campus was to serve a larger Southwest Washington constituency. You know, the fear was if the campus was located downtown Vancouver, that many people from Longview or others in Southwest Washington might have a more difficult commute to the campus. So it was deliberately located in the northern part of Vancouver in order to serve a much larger region. I might add to what Desiree just said in that this very dramatic decision about throwing the majority of budget cuts to the Vancouver campus specifically was done during summer after faculty are off contract. And so this often happens when administrators make bad decisions at universities. They wait until the end of the semester so that people can't get activated and protest those actions. And so that's what happened here. It was a very opaque decision. Historically, faculty have been involved in decision making on college and university campuses across the country. I mean, this is a historic practice where faculty are involved in decision making, and that did not happen here. Faculty were not allowed an opportunity to question the cuts that were thrown at Vancouver and to perhaps propose other ways of saving money that might have sustained the number of faculty and staff that are really needed to serve students and other constituents in Southwest Washington.
Yeah, I just want to note also that Elizabeth Cantwell, during their time at Utah State, really presided over the dismantling of DEI. And so we're really concerned, you know, we're hearing that there have been no programs that have been cut, but system-wide, women's gender and sexuality studies has been quote-unquote suspended. And we're also really concerned about sort of the demographics of the staff and faculty who are being given notice. And I just want to note, too, that the entire Southwest Washington delegation has sent a letter of, you know, concern to President Cantwell and voiced, you know, concerns about the lack of transparency, the lack of public participation, and sort of the gravity of these cuts. And, you know, I think our concern is that we are seeing kind of this will have represented in 2 years a 23% cut to our budget. You know, that leads to a kind of death spiral. And so we're really concerned that this is going to end up dismantling the Vancouver campus. At the moment, these cuts are being made. The athletic program in Pullman is being given an additional $20 million, right? So the system-wide cuts that Cantwell is imposing are just short of $12 million, but athletics is being given an additional $20
million. Now, Daria, you're here with us. What brought you in today to talk about this? What's your angle?
Yeah, my angle. I'm an alum, and I actually attended. I got my undergrad at Vancouver and my grad degree at Pullman, so I'm both. And I think the big concern I have is when you hear Desiree and Lori talking about this, I don't think most WSU alum even know this is going on. So there's such a lack of informed consent that I don't think people realize that their school is being taken away from them through these actions. And, you know, one of the things I think I just read recently in the paper that, you know, we're supposed to have another 81,000 people coming here, and I don't know if it's the next decade, something like that. And the whole thing that's going to bring people here is this idea of a vibrant Vancouver. And what does that mean? It means a livability. It means you can live and work and own a home, and you get the education that you need. We're a university city. This is a big part of our identity. There's so many Cougs here. And the fact that they probably don't realize that something's being taken away from them without their knowledge or consent is a big concern that I have.
Well, I mean, my experience, I kind of felt like I was here at the birth. Before WSU Vancouver was WSU Vancouver, it was like a higher education of Southwest Washington consortium. They were just trying to have classes for upper, you know, since Clark College existed, it was upper division classes. And then it became WSU Vancouver. And in the late 80s, I believe, is when they funded the land purchase for what is now the WSU Vancouver campus up in Mount Vista, really. And my very first experience with WSU was I went to go shopping at Fred Meyer's on Chocolove, and there were people there trying to get signatures because they wanted the WSU campus to be in Cascade Park. And I had just moved to Vancouver, and all I could think is, that is the stupidest thing I think I may have ever heard up to that point. I've since long been surpassed. But the argument in Southwest Washington, and something that the legislators could always rally around, was Southwest Washington disproportionately had a lower graduation rate from college compared to Seattle or wherever. And I don't mean to take campuses away, but if you want to defund WSU, just expand Eastern Washington and go that area is covered, because now there's two campuses in Eastern Washington. There's a UW campus in Bothell, which is up the street from the main UW campus. Why do they have UW Bothell? I don't know. I generally think that's really good, but there is nothing like WSU Vancouver. Taking it away seems kind of insane. It's like, you know, it's kind of like saying we have three choices for shopping in Eastern Washington. We have five choices for shopping in Northwest Washington, and in Southwest Washington, we have one choice and we're going to want to take that away.
Right, right.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
That is such a good point, Stephen, because that was the purpose of locating the campus here in Southwest Washington, because Southwest Washington had the most underserved population in the entire state with access to higher education. So you're exactly right that this area really needs higher education.
Can we talk a little bit? One of you two know better than me that Stephen goes to what he's saying goes to the point of it being a land grant university, and the idea that this is supposed to be benefiting the community in a very vital, inherent way. Can you speak a little bit about what that means? Desiree?
Lori, do you want to?
Or either one of you. You know more than I do.
Yeah. Desiree, I'll jump in here and then both of you can jump in, because Daria, I know that you've been really critical to the community in so many ways, but I've always felt in my 30 years at WSU Vancouver that we really served more of the land grant mission than my colleagues in Pullman. No offense to them, but there just wasn't a large population center around Pullman. And whereas I was one of, four members of a history department in Vancouver, I was constantly being asked to work with teachers or work with the Clark County Historical Museum or Cowlitz County Museum, working on oral history projects, exhibits. There were all kinds of ways I was pulled into the community to give talks on the history of immigration or history of U.S. foreign policy. So I spent as much time in the community as I did in the classroom. So I think I was just one member of the Vancouver faculty, but I know that many others worked out in the community much like I did. And so Southwest Washington, I believe, has much more of a demand. It has the population center that really needs experienced faculty with expertise in various subjects to work with them on various projects.
The thing that I see is that WSU, from the minute it was formed, it's fulfilled its mission 100%. We're being punished. We haven't done anything wrong. That seems weird.
I'm Stephen Glickman, host of this episode of The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. My guests today are Desiree Helligers, Lori Mercier, and Daria Ruggles Christensen. We've been talking about how a call from the legislature to cut funding in the state's university system has translated into an even bigger cut, which is falling on the WSU Vancouver campus. We're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll return to continue our discussion.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW is supported by The Columbian, which provides coverage of environmental, transportation, and homelessness issues of vital interest to the region and is made possible through its community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation. Available at columbian.com.
Welcome back to The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. I'm your host, Stephen Glickman, and my guests today are Desiree Helligers, Lori Mercier, and Daria Ruggles Christensen. Before the break, we talked about disproportionate cuts to the WSU Vancouver campus. Now our conversation continues discussing the implications of those cuts.
Well, before the break, you know, we were just kind of getting red hot and rolling, talking about what WSU Vancouver means to the community and the fact that it's going to be punished with budget cuts. One thing that I think we were talking about before the interview was the labor implications. I mean, the WSU has always been a small, tight-knit community, and the people who work there are part of the family. But there are also labor issues. Lori, can you speak to that, the fact that this is kind of potentially an unfair labor situation?
Gosh, it is. And so many campuses or institutions of higher ed across Washington State are organized, have labor unions. Washington State has one of the highest percentage of union members in the United States. But UW and WSU, for a lot of reasons I won't go into because it's a kind of a complicated story, but WSU and UW have never successfully been able to organize. And that's partly because the legislature ruled that the entire system would need to organize to belong to a union. And certainly across the river in Portland, we see that Portland State University is undergoing some severe cuts right now as well. But faculty are organized in AAUP, the Association of American University Professors, and staff there too have unions that have been able to slow down that process of layoffs and at least insist on some basic seniority rights and other kinds of labor rights that we don't have on the WSU campus.
I think one of the things that throws me off is the fact that, like, if I would say to my kids, like, hey, you're going to get less allowance. You know, we're running a budget shortfall. Normally get $5 a week. Now we have a $1 budget shortfall. You would think that the allowance would go to $4. Instead, what's happening is you go, yeah, we need to save $3 million. We're going to take $12 million away. Can anybody speak to that, Desiree?
Yeah, I mean, it is basically seemingly a manufactured fiscal crisis, right? It's not a real fiscal crisis. It's a manufactured one that's going to really injure the WSU Vancouver campus. And I want to say, too, that in terms of the Morrill Land Grant Act, which established, you know, land grant or land grab universities across the country, I mean, it really was addressed to meeting the needs of essentially working class communities. And there's no mention in there of athletics, right? There's no mention in there about football. And yet what we're seeing is that there's this willingness to subsidize the football program at the expense of the Vancouver campus as well. Like, there's no way that we can't see those two things as connected. And I just want to note, too, that, you know, one of the communities that's going to suffer the most if the campus is dismantled or significantly sort of, minimized is the Longview, Kelso, Kalama area. And we already have folks coming from that area. You know, this is Longview, of course, just was the site of the largest kind of industrial disaster in modern Washington State history. And it's exactly those communities that are already, you know, students from that area are already commuting close to an hour just to get to WSU Vancouver. And it's 20 miles longer to get to Olympia, right? So there's no way that, for example, Evergreen is ever going to meet the needs of this region.
Yeah, Evergreen, you know, I tell the story all the time because I heard this from somebody who was a Southwest Washington legislator who explained to me and a bunch of other people when So Southwest Washington had a long-standing problem of a disproportionately low graduation rate for colleges. So the legislature decided that there really should be a campus in Southwest Washington. And so they created Evergreen State College in Olympia. And that was their idea of a Southwest Washington campus, which is kind of weird. I want to take a second. I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat, get completely conspiratorial. You guys can, you know, answer this or dismiss this. But the WSU campus is roomy. It would make a really, really great corporate campus. Is there somebody behind the scenes pushing for, like, if you destroy WSU and all the buildings and infrastructures there, someone could say, like, hey, I'll be willing to buy the campus and the buildings pennies on the dollar, and someone all of a sudden has, like, a corporate location. Is anything like that happening? Have you heard?
Well, it's disaster capitalism, and Naomi Klein has a whole book on it. I don't know about this specifically.
Yeah, I don't think that there's been that level of investigation, but I think we always have to wonder
don't
about...
Don't give me any ideas.
Because I kind of feel like, you know, this is being driven by a person. Who is that person connected to? Who are they married? Often, you know, it's like you look at... Linda McMahon, she's gotten roles in the Trump administration, and it's like her husband did a whole bunch of stuff to promote Donald Trump. And so it's like, you know, it's a lot of log rolling. So the question is, like, whose cousin is going to benefit from this? Mm-hmm. I mean, now it's also possible that it's not anything. So I want to disclaim that this is tinfoil hat, unfounded. I don't know, but it's something I think should be looked into.
But it's also true that this person, and you not to be xenophobic, but she's not from here. It can't well happen. No relation, I presume, to our wonderful senator, congressman.
Yeah, Marie Cantwell,
who's wonderful. No, this she's not from here, and Vancouver or Washington. So we're a line item to her. So you know, if you do look a little bit into her background, then maybe your tinfoil hat isn't so off. You know, take a look right there. We might be able to follow some dots. But I personally really resent the fact that we are being placed against each other on the two different campuses. You know, there's a suggestion that the Vancouver campus is a bunch of spoiled, overfed children, and so we need to cut back that allowance that you're talking about. We're the one that got all the ice cream. And it's just not true. We all pay the same tuition, and we shouldn't be artificially set up against each other like that.
And I think the question, too, is like, why are these cuts always taken from, you know, some of the lowest paid workers, right? I mean, you could take a small percentage, you know, 5% out of all of the massively well-paid administrators at WSU. And, you know, you can take a look at the Washington State Employee Salary Database, which we've done. And we know that there are more than 100 administrators at WSU who are making significantly more than the governor, right? There's at least 10 administrators who are making $400,000 a year or more, wow. Right? So those cuts could so much more easily be taken at the top.
The thing is, I mean, we'll see what happens in the fall, but there's a possibility that there'll be a wealth tax in this state. The wealth tax could easily make up the shortfall. Jeff Bezos isn't going to voluntarily give the money. Maybe right. Mackenzie Scott would, but I just, punching people when they're down doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I don't get it. I mean, WSU Vancouver's done everything it was asked to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's getting cut, which is why we're talking about this now.
Yeah.
And I think that the cuts are even deeper when we look at faculty positions that have not been replaced mm-hmm. in the last decade. Every time there's a retirement like mine, you know, that position remains empty. That represents a savings to the administration. I mean, granted, on our campus, I think administrators have tried to avoid layoffs by using those retirement savings or if people leave for another job. But that does impact programs when those positions aren't replaced. As Desiree and maybe Daria pointed out, I mean, just the obscene salaries that so many administrators make at WSU, and this is not just a WSU problem. This has happened across the country where college and university administrators have become CEOs, and they even call themselves CEOs, you know, campus executive officers, but they might as well be corporate executive officers mm-hmm. because they rake in just such a large amount of cash. And, you know, I'm not denigrating the work that many of those administrators do, but I really don't think the administrator of a campus of the size of Vancouver needs to make more than the governor. So,
yeah, and just for context there, we do know that Mel Netzhammer, who is the immediate past chancellor of the Vancouver campus, together with the president, Kirk Schultz, they were each given an additional year of basically free salary during which they were to consult. I don't know how much consultation went on, but those salaries alone, you know, if you consider benefits, probably come in at about half of what the legislature has identified as the shortfall for the entire system. Wow. So we're talking about that level of disparity of pay.
Okay, so we're running out of time. So what I want to do is ask you, like, each of you have give it, you know, a short statement on what do you think is happening? You know, what's the next step and what can listeners do? So we'll start with you, Desiree.
Yeah, I mean, I think we really need to mobilize alumni. We need to hear from alumni about the significance of this campus, what it's meant to them. And I also want to suggest that, you know, tribal nations are another important constituent in all this. Like, if the campus goes away, that represents a critical loss of a resource for tribes whose land was seized to capitalize Washington State.
Yeah, Dario, what are your thoughts on this? What are you going to do? Because you're a fireball. What are you doing?
I know, but
do?
I retired from all of those things, like being a commissioner in boards, because I am with the love of my life, and that's where I want to spend my time. But I hope, Stephen, what I'm hoping is maybe one of your listeners, we do have so many Cougs. Maybe somebody can come in. We can do an awareness campaign, a fundraiser. Do you have a pub? Are you a Coug, and do you have a pub? And would you let us do a little fundraiser? We do need to have people. The main thing that concerns me is that this is going on without people's understanding or informed consent. So a way to come together would be great.
All right, Lori, it looks like you're going to have the last word. What is it that you want people to know coming out of this?
Okay, listeners, let's mobilize and send letters to the president of WSU, Elizabeth Cantwell, and to the regents, the state regents, who I'm not sure understood what the impact of these cuts would have in Southwest Washington. So I think letters that people can send to protest these cuts and to ask that they be restored so that faculty and staff at WSU Vancouver can, in a more reasoned way, plan how to grow the campus, to increase enrollments, to reduce the funding crisis, and to make everyone know that this is not a good thing for the region.
I want to thank you all for what you're saying. For people who are listening, what I want you to think about is this. How did you feel before WSU came into your life, WSU Vancouver? When you found out about WSU, what problems or what opportunities were you able to get for that? And then because of that, how did you end up feeling? Because I know that I felt that I really wanted to continue my education and get a bachelor's degree. WSU did it. I had a wonderful experience there. And now I feel a sense of accomplishment that's never going to go away because I had that. And I am involved in radio and I was a working member of this community for a really long time. So there was always the give back. And that's the thing is, it's like, how do you feel and how has this benefited the community?
You've been listening today to The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. I've been your host, Stephen Glickman. I would like to thank my guest for today, Desiree Helligers, professor of English at WSU Vancouver and a founding co-director of the Collective for Social and Environmental Justice, Lori Mercier, professor emerita and former Claudius O. and Mary W. Johnson Distinguished Professor of History at Washington State University, Vancouver, and Daria Ruggles Christensen, alumnus of not only WSU Vancouver, but also Days of Our Lives. For more information, you can follow the link that will be available in the show's description.
Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union till the day I die.
Programming like this is made possible by your generous support. If you'd like to support this program and others like it, please visit us on the web at kxrw.fm, and there you'll find the big donate button. Together, we're discovering Vancouver's voice. On behalf of show creator and producer Joe Clemens and all the volunteers and supporters who make this program possible, I'm host Stephen Glickman, and I want to thank you for listening to The Common Good. Take care.